Well, we're going to talk today, turn your Bible to John chapter 5. We're going to talk about our sacred trust. Turn to your neighbor and say, trust God. Trust God. Our sacred trust. And here's the deal, is that we all play tug of war when it comes to surrendering our lives to Jesus. Like, trusting God is often the most challenging thing for us, to believe God, to trust God. And God wants to trust you, and it's a trust exchange. There is a trust exchange when you and I surrender to God because we ultimately fear Him and we ultimately trust Him. We give our lives truly over to Him, and we do it in small ways and we do it in big ways. I'm not talking about just the grand gestures of trust. I'm talking about just regularly tithing, regularly serving, devoting prayer time every single day to God, Sabbathing, different things is ultimately, it's a trust exchange. The question is are you God or is God God? Now, everyone in church today that is a Christian and a believer would arguably say God is God. But if we look at some of the way we live our lives, even though we go to church, we actually live like we are God. I know. And the question is why don't we trust God? Why don't we release our lives to God? Because now in society, the gospel of individualism and self reign high. It does in Toronto, does all over Canada, and it does especially in Western Christendom, that the gospel of individualism, I mean, you're awesome, you can be your best self, and you know, you're your self-savior and all this kind of stuff. And what we do sometimes is we go to God only when we're desperate, but we don't go to God for His leading and for His lordship to be a part of His plan. We simply often just want Him to be about our agenda and our plan. And so even though our heart sings in the worship songs that we surrender all, the way we really live our lives is that we want Him to surrender to us. And that, I know, I come right out the gate, right? But it's a tug of war. It's a trust exchange. And every time that you and I feel like we've made it, we go through another season, another trial, another moment of suffering that tests whether we really believe God is God. And I want to tell you that God is God. And I want to tell you that contrary to popular opinion, He is good. And sometimes our circumstances and our trials and different things, you might have a prayer request before God and believe God for something great, and it doesn't come to pass. And in that delay, it might be trying to preach something to us about God, that God doesn't listen to you, He doesn't care about you, but that's not true. You're just in the middle yet. You haven't come out in the miracle. And if there is a delay, God's just building a story in your life that He would get greater glory so that you and I would have an even greater level of faith, a greater testimony in God, and believe God in an even greater way. Turn to your neighbor and say, trust God. Trust God. Amen. Amen. So the sacred trust. Why don't we lay our lives down? Why do we hesitate? Why do we control? And why is our grip around our purpose and everything that God is asking for, why is it so tight? He can barely get our fingers open from the things that He's looking for us. And if we could just be open-handed before God and give our lives to God, and you will have an opportunity today online in Melbourne and here in the room at Sunshine Coast, you will have an opportunity before the end of the day to ultimately trust God with the most precious thing, and it's your life. And it's your heart. And I tell you that if you do that, if you place your faith in God and bring Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you will have the most remarkable relationship, the relationship that you were always meant to have. It doesn't mean that life's not going to be hard at times. We need to preach truth today. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face a trial. It just means you'll never do it alone. You will always do it with the ultimate power, the Creator of the universe. And I just really want to encourage you to trust God. So turn to your neighbor one more time and say, trust God. Trust God. So the sacred trust in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 and 17 from the New Living Translation, this is where Paul talks about the sacred trust. And this is an anchor scripture. It says, yet preaching the good news, and that's what Paul did, yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. He says this, I am compelled to do it, to preach the good news. And he says this, how terrible, he concludes, how terrible would it be for me if I didn't do this, if I didn't preach the good news? If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But he says this, I have no choice. God has given me this sacred trust. Now, when you know Paul's life, you know he's gone through a lot of stuff. Like, you know, he was the guy, if you compare your life to Paul's life, he's in the Bible for a reason to help us understand that we can't complain about anything, especially not if we live on the Sunshine Coast. We're living in paradise and, you know, I don't want to diminish how tough life can get sometimes, but your life will never be as tough as Paul's. Like, he's there for us to be like, thank God I don't have to go through what he went through. But he says, even all the things, the shipwreck, the stonings, not the good stoning, it was like the bad. No, there's not a good stoning. No, all the stonings and all the hardships and all the things, he went through all that stuff. And he still said, listen, I can't boast about everything I've gone through. I'm compelled to keep going for God. I'm compelled to keep saying yes to God. How terrible would it be if I actually said no? He trusted God, ultimately, in spite of everything that he was facing. But many Christians today say no to God. Many Christians today resist saying yes to God. And today's not that day. And this church is not that church. And you're not that Christ follower that resists. If God is calling you to it, even if you can't draw all the calculations of how you can step into it, the simple fact that he is asking you to step into it is a compliment from heaven that he believes in you. And if it's out of your depth, if you think I don't know have what it takes, welcome to the party. Because it just means your purpose in God is not meant to be something that you can handle. Your purpose in God is meant to be out of your depth. Why? So that you will always depend on Him. It is impossible for you to say yes to God and do it by yourself without Him. And so N.T. Wright talks about this awesome idea of Scripture called the six drama acts of Scripture. And you and I in 2024, moving into 2025, we're a part of this. And I can't endorse that leadership event at the end of January enough. You've got to get there. It's worth the flight from Melbourne. Get there and lean into what God is asking you to do. But I've got a graphic here of the six acts of creation. And this is the Bible story. You're a part of a narrative. Did you know that? And it's larger than the bills you pay. It's larger than the house that you have. It's larger than our own lives. It's together. We're a part. We're in this journey of this story of God. And it's amazing. It starts with creation. And he did that. Then the second act is the fall. This tragedy happens. Moves into the third act, which is Israel, and it's all of the Old Testament. And this is where God brings the thing that we call covenant and promise. And we understand that he has something and a relationship with his creation. But the problem couldn't be answered until the fourth act, where Jesus comes, the Messiah. And then once Jesus comes, he left all of that promise and all of that covenant in the hands of the fifth act, which is the church. And we live in the fifth act now. That's why it's called the Book of Acts. It's not why it's called the Book of Acts, but it's cool. And there's some action associated with the fifth act. And then eventually we'll move into the sixth act, which is the Lord's Day. It's the new creation. It is the end. It's the reconciliation of all of creation. It's when God completes his story. But right now we're not there. We're not there yet. And we live in a day where we need to pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come in our lives as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come in Melbourne as it is in heaven. Somebody in Melbourne say amen. Amen. Thy kingdom come in our lives. And so you are, in effect, a witness. And the church is a witness. And that's what we're called to be. And Josh, just here on the Sunshine Coast, told his story of being an evangelist. And you might never call yourself an evangelist, Josh. But you just showed the church this morning here on the Sunshine Coast, you just showed the church how evangelism can be so real, so normal, so down to earth. And what you're doing is you're partnering and co-laboring with God. Guys, we got to wrap our head around the fact that we are in this season of time where God is leaning out of heaven and wants to co-labor with us. Like what? And like if God, you might say, well, if God wants everybody saved And if he wants churches to be planted, and if he wants his kingdom to advance so bad, why doesn't he just do it? And the answer to that question is he will at one point. But right now, in his sovereignty, he has chosen to co-labor with us, fallen misfits. And so point one is there's a prayer request from heaven with your name on it. You are called by God. He created the universe, and a part of his story, he is inviting you to be a part of it. An amazing theologian, Craig Van Gelder, says this. He says, the church in the 21st century must focus its life on reinterpreting the gospel and learning the simple practices of participation in God's mission. So often you and I get down on our knees before heaven and we say, God, would you move mightily on my behalf? We have a prayer request before God. God, would you do this for me and that for me and that for me and that for me? But many times we don't actually comprehend or even think about the fact that God is on his knees in heaven saying the same prayer over you. Would you move mightily on my behalf? Would you do something? Would you opt in? And part of praying prayers like kingdom come on in our lives as it is in heaven is trying to make our lives line up with his mission. You would be shocked as to how many prayers get answered when your prayers are the same as his. And maybe the frustration of God not answering our prayers is because we pray many selfish, individualistic prayers, and we want God to be like the genie that lives in the Bible that will come and grant every wish that we have. And maybe God's not answering our prayers because it's not on his heart. And he's doing this thing called the church. We're in the fifth act. Do you know that you will die one day? Praise Jesus. But you're partnered with this thing that it talks about in Hebrews, a great cloud of witnesses, an amazing story that is not yet bookended, and that you and I in this chapter of life, that even though your life is a vapor and a breath, but there is so much. These people come into Christ because you and I say yes. And Jess and I, we have a part to play in obedience. I mean, We moved over to Toronto and with a few people and started a church there. And right now we've got three locations and there's more. I'm inquiring of God, God, what is my part of your mission? What is the prayer request of heaven that you have for Sam Pickin? I want to keep praying that prayer. And the more that I align with that and the more that you and I align with that, it's amazing how you look back over the course of life and you're just like, what the heck? God, this is crazy. In John chapter 5, I asked you to turn there early, there's this crazy unique verse that says this, when Jesus is responding to accusations from religious leaders because Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath, and Jesus said this, in his defense, in verse 17 of John chapter 5, it says, my Father is always at, underline it, his work. Somebody say work. This is a good sense of the word work. You know, I don't know what you think about your life and whether your intent was to move to the Sunshine Coast to retire. And that's good and I get it, but I'm here to say to you that your work is not yet done. There is no such thing as retirement when it comes to obedience to God. And you might retire from a vocation or, you know, getting a paycheck on life or whatever, but the work that God has for you, there is still more. It might be something as simple as encouraging someone, inviting someone to church, stepping in and saying yes when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And the question is, can you and I be inconvenienced for God's work? Do we allow the Holy Spirit? Do we surrender to God in that way? And there's certain things like, I mean, right now, it's been a beautiful journey what God has done through our church up to date. 9,903 people have made decisions for Christ over the course of C3 Toronto's existence. And it's amazing. I get to be a part. You and I get to be a part of this journey. One couple came to church in the last year. We started our Midtown location. And it's awesome that C3 Powerhouse has started Melbourne. And because there was someone that said yes to playing a part in the city of Melbourne and to launch a new location there. Now lives are getting impacted by the work of God because we say yes. Every time an individual in church says yes to the mission of God, the kingdom gets further momentum in God's story. Every time you and I say yes with Vision Builders and we release what we could use finances to selfish individualism and we release it and we say, you know what? I'm going to reprioritize these little selfish dollars and make them selfless for the cause of love, for the mission of God. All of a sudden, the kingdom of heaven gets more momentum. And so we launched this location Midtown, and this couple come in and they're from Iran. They're a part of like a religious, you know, obviously environment there, and they moved to Canada and they're walking past our church and someone not unlike Josh invited them in. And the long story short is they came and got baptized in our church and got saved in our church. And so you could say, how terrible would it be if we never said yes to launch that location, to create another lighthouse so that someone would encounter the kingdom of heaven? And it was really awesome because they're a part of Islam in Iran where the father said, you know, we never had a choice. And the biggest testimony and the biggest thing about Christianity is that he now has choice. He chooses Jesus. And Jesus chooses him and then gets baptized. And so when he wanted his daughter to get baptized, he went to the location pastor and just said, hey, I want my daughter to get baptized on the same Sunday that we do. And the location pastor didn't even know the context and just said, yeah, like she will get baptized when she chooses Jesus for herself. Didn't know that even in that statement, that was ministry to someone that had grown up in an Islamic environment. Isn't that awesome? Every time you say yes, you don't know what's going to happen on the other side of your yes. I sense that there's people all through Melbourne, all through that location, and something's like a fire's lighting on the inside of your heart, and you're like, what is the prayer request from heaven? What is it? Make an inquiry of God. Amen. Number two. So we ask, well, Jesus said, well, he is always about his work, and to this very day, I too am working. So what is his work, and how can I be a part of it? What is his work, and it's interesting, Jesus responds when the religious leaders there were accusing him of working on the Sabbath. And the idea of God, like a sovereign power in that day, in ancient religion, being a working God was offensive. Like God, when God is powerful, God doesn't work. But not in Christianity, God is always at work. God is not sitting around when you and I are facing trials and problems. God is working. He's doing something. And that's the difference between maybe some of these Babylonian gods or maybe some of these other gods that, you know, they're really passive, but not our God. God is working and he's on mission. And God, there is no scripture in the Bible that says that God Sabbaths. He took, in creation, took the seventh day off, but as an example for us, so that you and I would stop being saviors of our own life. Sabbath is not about taking a day off so that we can live selfishly. Sabbath is a matter of idolatry, and it's about the appropriation of what is holy in our life. It's a part of the Ten Commandments. So Sabbath actually teaches us, can you not overwork according to your own understanding, but stop for a day and consider and worship the Lord, because your life is going to be better if you stop trying to control every outcome and you give at least 1/7 of your life to him in surrender and lordship. So Sabbath is more about idolatry than it is about us having a nap. Too many, the theology of Sabbath in modern day times is absolutely paralyzing the church in disobedience. It is literally ravaging Western Christianity and stopping people. The devil's using the theology of Sabbath to get people to say no to God. He's hiding individualism and hiding selfishness and the guise of something that's holy when it was all about making sure God is God. You shall have no other name. You shall have no other God, and you shall keep the Sabbath holy, because you need to understand that you're trying to always control your life, but you've got to release control into God's hands, and that is what's holy. And watch what God can do when you give 1/10 of your income, when you give 1/7 of your life. Watch what God can do over that kind of a surrender, way more than you and I could do if we were trying to control everything in our own strength. I know. I just kicked some religious demons in your world right now. But what is God's work, and how can we be a part of it? God is working through C3 Powerhouse. God is doing something. One of the best pieces of advice that I give people when they're trying to find out their purpose is serve somebody else's purpose. The best way that you can discover what God has for you to do is not to be about your purpose, but to be about His. And the best thing that you and I can do when it comes to serving in the house of God is to say, hey, Lord, what about this? And what about the mission of God's house? And what about what you're doing? Can I be a part of it? You're not meant to have a heavy laden burden and obey God on someone else's behalf, but you're also not meant to disobey God of what He's asking you to do. The body has many parts, and the question is, what is your part? What is the part of work? And so it's amazing what's going on here. Do you know we're establishing connect groups in this house? And so the work of God might be you opening up your house to a spirit of hospitality so that other people... And then the answer is, well, how terrible would it be if you never started that connect group? Because on the other side of you starting that connect group, somebody came into your house and felt like they belonged where they otherwise felt isolated. Their heart was now open to Jesus when they were addicted and hooked on all these different things, because you said yes. You said, I am going to take some of my time that I could use to myself and I could catch up on my Netflix show, but I chose to open up my house in a spirit of hospitality, in a spirit of selflessness, and run an amazing connect group. And I don't know how many connect groups we have at C3 Powerhouse, maybe 50, maybe 60. But what if the day came when we had like 600 connect groups all around our cities? That is a catalyst for revival. And because you and I step in, you and I opt in, you and I say yes to the work of God and let Him work through our surrender, you will never regret it. You will see more people like Josh. You will see more people like Dan and Ebony say, hey, listen, I want to stand up. And there will be more churches planted because someone joins your connect group and applies themselves to the kingdom of God, surrenders their life over to the will of God, and all of a sudden the kingdom of heaven gets greater advancement. I want to be a part of this. It's exciting. Jesus didn't have His own purpose. In John 6, verse 38, He says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of someone that sent me. Even Jesus didn't have His own purpose. I don't know. Like, Pastor Phil's got a great vision. And so that's mine. There's 613 churches around the world right now, and there needs to be 614. And part of the thing that God's asked us to do in recent times, and the thing that we feel is a prayer request from heaven, is to start a church in Mexico City. Why not? Let's go. If you know anyone in Mexico City, keep your ear to the ground and we'll get them connected. Amen. I'm going to finish with this thought. Number three, we're compelled. We're compelled. And so there... Paul was articulating that he was laying down his rights. He had entitlement. He had right. But something compelled him beyond him feeling like he had a right to anything. He was bound to love. You and I, you know, sometimes we feel like, man, I don't want to be a part of something that I don't want to, like, am I bound by rules and I have to do this? No, it's not about that. In negotiation, typically in business, what we do is we negotiate our way to pay the lowest price to get the best benefit. Let's not negotiate with God. Let's not bargain with God. What do I have to do to just be in His framework of He is pleased with me enough that He would bless me? What's the minimum that I would give in my life that I would remain in the blessing of God? I don't know. That's not worship.
That's great.
Worship is bringing the best lamb. Is looking and taking stock of one's life and going, okay, let me locate the most precious. Let me locate the most value. Let me locate the best that I have. And how can I get that and give it to God first? We're not negotiating with God to try and get by at bare minimum. That's not you. I know you better than that. No. Who are we in C3? Well, we are people that are true worshipers that say to God, what more could I do? What more is he asking me to do? I'm not, this isn't a message to get you living a laborsome, legalistic, like works-based, look at me and how much I do for God. No, that's not the point. The point is that you and I would always respond to the prayer request from heaven. If he is asking for it, he will grace us for it. And there is a compulsion because he loves the world. And so, I don't know if the screens have this, but that verse with like a blank line in it, do you have that? There it is. Okay, so you would fill in the blank. Let the Holy Spirit fill in the blank. Paul said, yet preaching the gospel is not something I can boast about. How I am compelled to do it. How terrible would it be for me if I didn't preach the gospel? So for some people in this room, yet leading worship is not something I can boast about. I'm compelled to do it. How terrible would it be if I didn't lead worship? Yet practicing my instrument and getting excellent at my craft is not something I can boast about. How terrible would it be? Yet inviting my friends and co-workers to church is not something I can boast about. How terrible would it be if I didn't do that? Yet giving those finances that I have, that I've earned, and that I could be using for my own selfish agenda, how terrible would it be if I didn't reappropriate those finances to be able to buy an amazing block of land out on the highway on Sunshine Coast to see one of the greatest lighthouses for the kingdom of heaven on that highway? How terrible would it be if I was reserved in my worship? How terrible would it be if I didn't start that connect group? How terrible would it be if I didn't raise those kids in kids ministry? How terrible would it be if I didn't speak and empower youth to be the next and future leaders of the church? How terrible would it be if I only thought about myself and I didn't think about the God story and my part to play in it? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not done. Come on, there is something more. Melbourne, there is something more. So right now, just close your eyes as you're watching online, you're watching here in Melbourne. This might be your first Sunday at church and you're like, what the heck have I just walked into? You have walked into an invitation to be a part of the greatest story known to mankind. So with your eyes closed right now, Holy Spirit, let us make an inquiry of heaven. Let us make an inquiry of the prayer request that comes from you with our name on it. All the people in Melbourne, you're leaning in and you're saying, Lord, here I am, send me. All the people watching online, you're saying, Lord, what would you have me do? And in your heart in Sunshine Coast, you're saying, hey, Lord, I trust you. I will be surrendered. I will be open-handed. I am not going to control every outcome. But if you're asking for it, Holy Spirit, I'm going to opt in. Let's give the kingdom of heaven and the story of love the greatest momentum that it can ever have. I believe God is speaking to individuals right now. And he's reminding you of words. He's reminding you of promise. He's reminding you. You might feel stretched right now. You might be shaking in hesitation. I'm not sure I have what it takes. It's not a bad feeling. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to hand it back over to Pastor Dan in Melbourne. God bless you guys.